1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. And we're going to move around Timothy this morning and look at various aspects of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, and 2 Timothy is written a few years later after 1 Timothy, and there's the same situation going on. There's false teaching that has arisen within the congregation, and years later it's still there, and it's prevalent. And Paul writes to Timothy again, and in verse 14 he says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So let's begin in prayer. Father, we ask that the entrance of your word would produce light and reverence to the end that you may be exalted and magnified in us, to the end that the truth, Lord Jesus, would be our foundation, and that, Lord, the focus would be on the glory and the love of the risen Savior. And, Father, we would be a people who would not be tossed to and fro. In Jesus' name, amen. 5 years earlier than 1 Timothy, Paul in Acts chapter 20, he writes to the elders at Ephesus. And in this, he writes and he warns them, he says, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. 5 years after Paul had written those words, 1 Timothy comes into being. And all of a sudden, you've got the congregation, the people of God, and false teaching has arisen not only from without, but from within. And so when Paul writes to the church here, and he's writing to Timothy, he's warning them about false teaching. And what we want to look at this morning is guarding what God has entrusted to us, namely the Word of God. God has entrusted the Word of God to His people for a light in the world, and how the church is to conduct itself, how we are to live. You cannot know what God is like. You cannot know what a marriage or a family is to be like. You cannot know how you're to think if you do not have the Word of God as your foundation. And we're going to have a look this morning at what is false teaching versus what is truth. How is Paul going to advise Timothy how he's going to guard the foundation, which is the truth of the Word of God, to these dear people? He says, guard, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. And he says also that if the Spirit of God will strengthen him, he's not going to be alone, and he's given him a treasure. And the treasure is the gospel. The treasure is the truth of God's word. And God has entrusted it through his people from generation to generation to pass on. And therefore we ask ourselves, how have we got in such a mess today? Because we've departed from the truth of God's word. It has not been a treasure. It has been nothing more than a devotional for many of us. It is no higher or no lower than a daily devotional we read, which often comes from the thoughts of men, rather than what God has said in Psalm 138, above all, he has exalted his word. You cannot have a foundation that is solid apart from the word of God that will honor the living God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, he writes and he says that the function of the church is to be the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So here we go, and we're going to go through Timothy, and we want to look at several areas about false teaching and that which is truth, and how we can guard. He says to Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. How do you guard against false teaching? Well, look in chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the ministration of God which is by faith. How is he going to guard the church from false doctrine? Well, the first thing he's got to do is he's got to expose it. So how do you guard the church? You've got from false doctrine, you've got to expose it. And we want to look at several characteristics of false teaching. What does a false teacher look like? What does false teaching look like? And how are you going to know if you cannot see it through the lens of the truth of God's word? You can't. Is it possible to be a Christian and to be deceived? Absolutely. Colossians chapter 2 talks about being taken captive, being taken prisoner by vain philosophies, humanism of the day, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. James chapter 1 says you deceive yourself if you merely hear the Word and do not do it. 1 Corinthians says do not be deceived. Bad character does corrupt good morals. Galatians says if any man thinks he is something when he is nothing, the truth is not in him. So you can be deceived by false philosophies of the day. You can buy into the system. You can buy into the teaching. You can buy into the radio personalities and give more attention to what they say than the living God and be deceived, because now you look at the world through the world's perspective rather than from God's. Pride can deceive you. Merely giving an assent to yes, it is the word of God, and not doing it will bring about deception. Hanging around bad morals, whether it's from the TV, whether it's from the press, whether it's from individuals, do not be deceived. Bad morals, bad character does corrupt good morals. Yes, a believer can be deceived. And so Paul writes, he says, guard what's been entrusted to you. If he's going to guard them, number one, he's got to expose false doctrine. And here's what he does. What are the characteristics of false teaching? Number one, false teaching displaces the word of God. Verse 3. Stay on in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. The word strange here can be translated different. It means other than. In Jude it talks about the faith once and for all delivered. Ephesians chapter 2, God has imparted the word to his church through the apostles to lay the foundations. This is an other than foundation from the word of God. And the first thing he does is he exposes the false doctrine. And what do? They displace the word of God. But what do they displace it with? He said with myths, verse 4, and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation. Paul tells Timothy to stay there and to confront it. Men who displace the word of God. False teaching always displaces the word of God as the absolute authority for rule, guide, and conduct in a life. It always places the emphasis somewhere or on someone else. In this case, it was myths and genealogies. You say, what was happening? Well, back in those days, they would take, say, the genealogies of the Old Testament, where you had the names of people, and they would get the names, and all of a sudden, they would concoct a story. It's like someone sitting around a campfire, and it's like, well, let's add it on. I'll say a few things, you say a few things. Before you know it, we've got this tremendous concoction of a story. And so they were departing from the Word of God, and they were giving it over to fascinations and insinuations of men. They were giving it over to the imaginations of men. They were displacing the word of God. So what is the mark of a false teacher? He displaces the word of God as the absolute authority for the people of God. Secondly, these false teachers, they display ignorance and arrogance. Verse 6, for some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matter about which they make confident assertions. They display ignorance and arrogance when it comes to the truth of God. They talk about things confidently and assuredly, though they cannot back it up. They take the scriptures and they twist the scriptures. And they display ignorance, they don't know what it says, they don't know what it means, and they display arrogance, they're so conceited, so dogmatic, this is the way it is, and they're false teaching. And because the people are not grounded, they're led astray, because all of a sudden they're talking about myths, and they're talking about these people in the Old Testament, and they're making these great facts come true out of their own mind, which are not really truth. And so all of a sudden they're giving credence to what they're teaching, and they're being dogmatic. And the people are potentially being led astray. The third thing, they deviate from God's plan. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Not only did they displace God's word and display ignorance and arrogance in their false assumptions, but they deviate from God's plan. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to the deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy of our liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods. So what do? They deviate from God's plan. They're saying it is more spiritual not to be married. It is more spiritual to abstain from certain foods. Now, 1 Corinthians 7 speaks about the gift of singleness. But not everybody has that gift. But they're saying it is better not to marry. It is more spiritual not to be married. It is more spiritual to abstain from certain foods. Matthew 6 teaches about fasting. It has its place. But all of a sudden they're saying, well, if you abstain from marriage and you abstain from certain foods, they deviate from God's plan because marriage is from God. In the beginning, when God created it, it was good. It was for partnership. It was for procreation. It was to be pleasurable. And in Ephesians 5, it's to be the picture of Christ and His bride. It's a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. The problem is we've messed it up with our sin. But it's good. But the false teachers deviated from God's plan. They said marriage is not good. So you take that little step further. Well, if marriage is not good, how are you going to procreate? You're going to wipe the church out. Well, what we can do is we don't have to be married and we can have sex outside of marriage. But then you get Galatians chapter 5 that those who practice such a lifestyle shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not godly practice. So then the people say, well, where does this teaching come from? Look at the source. In verse 1, the Spirit says, in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Where is the source of such deficient and defective and damning teaching? He said, deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Its origin is demonic. It comes from the pit of hell because it deviates from God's word. But it has a means. The demonic doctrine has a means to be expressed. And it's through people who embrace false teaching. They deviate from the truth. And they express what comes to their own minds, their own desires, their own purposes, their own man-made thinking. And when they do, they depart from the Word of God. And if people are not grounded in the Word of God, they can be led astray also. Doctrines of demons, teachings which comes originally from the pit of hell. And look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. These people are those who are deceived and despised solid doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. False teachers are deceived. False teachers despise sound doctrine. Someone says, well, what does it mean, sound doctrine? Well, sound, the word just means wholesome. In John chapter 5, when Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda, and the man was lying there, and he'd been there 38 years, and Jesus said, are you willing to be made well? He said, I've got no one to help me get in. Every time I get nearer, somebody gets in before me. And then Jesus commands him to get up and to walk. And he does. And he testifies that he had been made well by Jesus. The word well is the same word that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, for sound. It means whole. What Jesus did for the man in the physical realm by causing his body and blood and every muscle and tendon and sinew in the physical realm to work accurately and correctly, this is what he does in the spiritual realm through sound and wholesome teaching, namely his word. How do you guard the flock, Timothy? Well, you've got to expose false doctrine. Secondly, how do you guard the flock, Timothy? You've got to exalt sound doctrine. You've got to exalt that which is healthy and wholesome for the church. What does Paul mean by sound doctrine? Acts 20, verse 27, it's the revealed word of God. Paul emphasizes sound doctrine and the connection between 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus as he goes through here. Doctrine that's to bring about change. Doctrine just means instruction, just means teaching. Jesus warns in the book of Matthew about men who elevate their own opinions, their own traditions, their own doctrine above the Word of God. Here in 1 Timothy 4, he speaks of the doctrines of demons. In Ephesians chapter 4, when he gives gifts to the church, gifted men to grow the church, that they're no longer tossed to and fro like waves on the sea, just winds carrying them everywhere by different winds of doctrine. So doctrine just means teaching. Some people say, well, you need to avoid doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. You can have the teaching of men, that's doctrine. You can have the teaching of demons, that's doctrine. You can have false teaching or you can have sound teaching. We often say, people will hear say, you'll hear them say, well, doctrine's not important. And they say that either out of one or two reasons. One, out of ignorance. They've not read their Bibles. Because you go through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, again and again you'll see the phrase sound doctrine, or in some translations it will say the teaching, the deposit. So people say it out of ignorance. They've never read their Bibles. They've said it out of ignorance because somebody has told them that and they've bought it, and without investigating it themselves, they've passed it on. Or else they've said it out of arrogance. In 1 Timothy 6:3, they are arrogant, conceited, and understand nothing if they do not embrace the words of Christ and the doctrine that teaches, which produces godliness. Sound doctrine is imperative if a church is going to grow. And what is the sound doctrine? What is the teaching? It's the teaching of God's word. Where does this truth come from? John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the truth. Psalm 19 said his word is true. 2 Timothy 3:16 said this, the truth is inspired by God and given to his church. Someone will say, well, all I need is Jesus. Well, John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Someone said, that's all I need. I just need Jesus. I just need the Holy Spirit to guide me. That's all I need. But Jesus said in John 16 that the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. And how does he guide his church into truth? When he spoke to the apostles there, John 17, verse 17, when he's praying to the Father for his church, he said, Father, sanctify them according to thy word. Thy word is truth. The Spirit of God takes the word of God and guides his people into truth. You cannot have the Spirit of God and not have the word of God and think that you can live to the glory of God as the people of God. Because God's means is the truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 said, you've received the truth, you've believed the truth, which effectively works within you. God's truth works within us. Three times in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, he said, I write these things to remind you. Remind us of what? Of the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is not found within an individual. The truth is found without, in the word of God. And as the individual submits to the word of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ, the truth begins to work inwardly. Philippians 4:8, Paul tells the church at Philippi, think on the truth. Colossians 3:16, he says to the church there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can point to error when you know what the truth is, but when you don't know it, what happens? You begin to embrace falsehoods. That's why Romans 12 says, renew your mind. Why? Because our minds are part of what God has given us to learn how to understand who he is, to learn how to love him, as the first and great commandment is, to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. False concepts heard today. I just need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truths. Others say, I just need Jesus, but which Jesus? You say there's more than one? Of course there's more than one. Mormonism have got a Jesus, but what have they done? What have the deceptions done there? They have added the book of some other man to the teaching, so the Jesus they have is not sufficient. Roman Catholicism has another Jesus. Their Jesus is insufficient to save you. You got to have seven sacraments to be observed before you can get in. Everybody has a Jesus. We have a genie Jesus. Get in trouble. Genie Jesus, get me out. But the Jesus of heaven, the glorious Son of God, is revealed through the Word of God. In Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus, he opened the Scriptures so they could understand from the Word of God. He began to reveal concerning himself in all the Scriptures. We need the truth of God to know the character of God. Someone will say, you don't need to know much. I can love God by just knowing a little. Oh, but imagine if you knew more. The glorious realities of his being, his holiness, his majesty, his grace, his mercy, his goodness, his long-suffering, his love. Couldn't you love him even more? Imagine if you knew more about the doctrines of heaven where you're heading to. The teachings of heaven where he'll wipe away every tear personally. Where it'll be a place for eternity. Ephesians 2 said, he will shower you with kindness. Wouldn't you love him more if you knew more doctrines, more teachings? Oh, I just need to know a little. Then your God is very little. God wants you to grow in the grace. 2 Peter 3 says, and in the knowledge of him. Timothy is the guard by how? Exposing false teaching. And he is the guard the truth and guard the church by expounding the truth. Doctrine is something that is not just dead. Doctrine has a purpose. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus over a period of years some of the purposes that God says through Paul to Timothy. Here's what doctrine produces in a life. Here's what sound and healthy and wholesome and godly teaching has the capacity to bring about in the life of the people of the living God. Sound doctrine is to dictate the way we live. 1 Timothy 4:6, he speaks to Timothy about the doctrine which you have been following. In other words, in order to follow, something has to be leading out front, leading your life, dictating your life is sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is to influence the way you work. 1 Timothy 6:1, he said, all who are under the yoke of slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against. Sound doctrine in 1 Timothy 6:3 is defined as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it promotes godliness. Sound doctrine is to promote godliness, godlikeness, reverence. 9 times in 1 Timothy the word godliness is used. Godliness just means godlikeness, and it's evidenced how from Monday to Saturday in a life of obedience out of respect for God. Sound doctrine is to bring about sound doctrine is to be used of leaders to guard God's people. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful words, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Those who are in a leadership position have to be grounded in sound doctrine. They've got to know what the Word of God can teach. So when the false teachings come, they can refute, they can overthrow the lies and expose the lies and expose the liars and guard the flock. Titus 2:1, sound doctrine is to be taught. He says, as for you, teach the things which are fitting or sound for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is to be known by younger men. We've often said, well, what should we do with our youth group? Well, where's the latest place we can take them? What's the latest thing we can feed them? What is the latest gimmick we can inspire them with? Titus 2:7, in all things, young men, show yourself an example of good deeds and purity of doctrine. What have we got to do with our young people? We've got to ground them in sound doctrine. Why? Because they are the generation and the next generation. When the older ones fall off, what will they do with the treasure that has been entrusted to them if they don't know what the treasure is? So you are not going to drift through life as a young person, and when you get to 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, then I'll get serious about the things of God. It's too late, because in those 20, 30, 40 years, if God gives you, what have you done? You've given your opinion for years. And if it's not based on sound and holy doctrine, you are perpetuating a false teaching. You say, but I don't mean to, but that's why you've got to be grounded on solid doctrine. What will happen if we start teaching sound doctrine in the church? We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Several years later, Paul writing to him, still got the problem of the false teaching. In verse 2, he said, preach the word. It's a command. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Okay, we're going to preach the word, Paul. What will happen? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So if we preach the word and we preach sound doctrine, what's going to happen? But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in according for their own desires. Verse 4, and they will turn away their ears from the truth. And will turn aside to myths. So what happens if you preach sound doctrine? Will all the people respond in a favorable way? No. Some of them will turn away and they will accumulate for themselves teachers who will teach them that which will stimulate them, that which they want to hear, and they will turn from the truth. So if we preach the word, what will happen? Some of the people will be grown. Some will be turned and changed and be producing godliness in their work and in the way they live and think. But others will turn away. Why? They do not want sound doctrine. They do not want the word and the meat of God's word. They want to be entertained. They want to be told what they like to hear. But if you're going to build a church, you've got to preach sound doctrine. Timothy, how are you going to guard the church? One, expose false teaching. Two, exalt sound doctrine. And number three, Timothy, you've got to embrace the truth of sound doctrine yourself. You cannot teach what you do not know. 1 Timothy chapter 4, have a look here. Timothy's told to embrace sound doctrine himself, the word of God. Verse 6, in pointing out these things, the phrase these things is used 8 times in this book. these things. Well, what are the things? Well, the false teachings and the truths. He's to continuously and be repeatedly telling the congregation. He said, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine, the teaching which you have been following. So how is Timothy going to guard the church? He has to expose false teaching. Timothy has to exalt sound doctrine. Timothy himself personally has to embrace sound doctrine. He himself has to nourish his soul on the words of truth. If you are not in the Word daily, when you come here on a Sunday morning, you are so dead, you cannot encourage people. You've got nothing to give. Why? Because you're running on empty. But God wants His church to nourish yourself, feed yourself. When we got here a few months ago, I was walking with my son at the time, who was seven then, Evan. And we're walking down this little road, and to our left, it was a beautiful summer's day, there was a man-made pond. And in that man-made pond, the cows would come. And they would walk into the pond, and they would drink from it, and they would stand there, and some of them would even submerge, and some of them would urinate in the pond. The pond was lime. It was green. I called it the Mountain Dew pond. And so as we're walking there, I said to my little boy, Evan, I said, and Evan, here's the swimming pool. Well, his eyes got big because he saw this lime scum on the top of the water. Could you imagine if I said, Evan, what I'd like you to do now, we're going to go over here. I'm going to sit on the side and say, just a lovely day. Why don't you go in and take a dip? I'll just sit here on this rock and I'll watch you. You dive in. And you swim, and now Evan, when you come up after you dive in, and you hit the bottom and come back up, as you hit the surface, I want you to take a big drink. Fill your lungs with the water, Evan. Drink till you're full. What would happen? Well, I am exposing him to what? That which can contaminate him, that which can infect him, that which is not healthy and sound and wholesome for his well-being. And so the filth of the world, the filth of our TV programs at times, the filth of who we listen to, the filth of the wildlife around us, we espouse that filth, the urination of false doctrine, we bring it into the church and we say everything is fine. Oh no, Timothy, you've got to expose false doctrine. You've got to exalt sound doctrine and you've got to embrace sound doctrine yourself. Look what he says. Nourish on the words of the faith. Constantly nourished. And fourthly, Timothy, if you're going to guard the truth and guard the flock, not only must you expose false teaching, not only must you exalt sound doctrine, not only must you embrace sound doctrine and feed your own soul on it, fourthly, Timothy, you must extend sound doctrine to your people. Look at verse 13, chapter 4. Until I come, give attention, and he says, give attention to three things. To the reading of the scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Give attention. God's word for his people, and in particular these three areas. Timothy, I want you to extend sound doctrine. I want you to extend the teaching of God. I want you to read it. The early church would read the word of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we saw this is what they would do in the synagogues when Jesus was there. But they're to read the word of God. Secondly, I want you to exhort the people. I want you to challenge the people to apply what has been read and explained to them. So they are to be exhorted. Read the word to the people. Exhort them, explain it to them, and get them to apply the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We often quote that, but we miss the start of it. And the start of the verse says, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth. So it's not merely intellectually knowing the truth. We've got to have the information, but there has to be the application. So he said three things. Extend the truth. What have you got to do? Read it to the people, exhort it, and then verse 13, teaching. The third important function of the pastoral ministry is he has to teach. The people need to be instructed in Christian living, and the leaders should give it to them, instructing them how to live the Christian life according to God's way, that they may be the church of God. Guard the flock. Timothy, he was told to remain at Ephesus. He could have said, you know what? I feel the Lord is calling me somewhere else, Paul. I feel it's time for me to move. You know what, Paul? I don't have a peace about staying in Ephesus. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? But Paul urges them, remain at Ephesus. Okay, I'll remain here. What I'll do, Paul, I will begin to pray. Oh no, he said. You go to certain men And you command and tell them to stop preaching this different doctrine other than what's been laid down. If you're going to guard what God has entrusted to you, namely the Word of God, and you're going to express love for the people of God, then several things are going to have to happen. Number one, you're going to have to become a student of God's Word. Number two, you're going to have to be courageous for the God of the Word and be willing to count. And number three, you've got to do it lovingly. 1 Timothy chapter 6. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. 2 Timothy 1. He tells him how he's to guard. 2 Timothy 1:14, guard through the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're not alone. The Spirit of God will strengthen you, who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. God has entrusted the treasure. God has given us the truth. 1 Timothy 1:3, he says, God has given us this precious treasure which produces love from a pure heart and a good conscience which false teaching never could. If you are going to grow as a congregation, and I want to speak to the men, you have got to take serious your responsibility as a man. 2 Timothy 2 said, find faithful men. There's a lot of us who are physically men, but we're not faithful. He said, find faithful men and deposit your lives into them, because they in turn will pass on the truth. Men only. Are you a faithful man? Who have you imparted the truth of God's word to? What are you doing with the trust, the treasure that God has given to you, namely his gospel and his word? Do you love God enough to guard his people? So when false teachings arise, instead of fleeing, instead of running, you stand and lovingly but vigilantly, like a good soldier, you stand and you expose the lie. Are you guarding the flock by exposing the lies? Are you guarding the flock and the truth of God's word? Are you serious about the treasure God has entrusted to you? Timothy, a young man, frequently sick, easily intimidated, and the scripture teaches that he was shy. Paul tells him, I want you to be combative, lovingly. I want you to be confrontive. I don't want you to flee. I want you to remain. And I want you to handle this treasure and guard God's truth by guarding God's people, by exposing false teaching. I want you to exalt sound doctrine. I want you to embrace it yourself, nourishing it in verse 15, so that your progress may be evident to all, so what you're teaching is changing you. And lastly, I want you to extend it to the congregation, because once they know the truth, now they can discern from the word of God what is true and what is false. Today we've got TV evangelists who get on and say stuff like this: sow into this ministry out of your need, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Your spouse will be saved. Your lost child will be saved. You'll receive more wealth. False. But what happens? People who are in trouble give into those ministries. What have you got to do? You've got to exalt sound doctrine and guard the truth that has been entrusted to you. You've got to teach the people. What is the greatest thing these young people need here? They need to be loved, and they need to be grounded in God's word, so that they, in turn, can guard the deposit God has entrusted to them when the rest of us are long gone. Young people, are you serious about the word of God? Can you recognize the error of false teaching in the world that urinates its filth through the TV and urinates its filth through teaching that's not godly? Where you can take the word of God and say, this is not true. This will contaminate my mind and my heart if I continue this way. Do you exalt sound doctrine, that which is wholesome and healthy? Do you have time in his word because you treasure it? Are you embracing the word of God for yourself? And are you extending it to others? In Timothy, he's young, frequently sick, easily intimidated. Paul doesn't say, go run and pray. He says, I want you to stand. I want you to guard. I want you to protect the people of God. There are no lone rangers in God's church. We are all part of the body of Christ. And how you are doing is to affect me, and how I am doing is to affect you. And the way God nourishes his church, grows his church, sustains his church, is with sound teaching. Every element of church life in this congregation should revolve around the Word of God. Should children have fun, they should have the most fun. Even adults should have fun. Some of us could even smile even now and then a little bit more, couldn't we? But what's going to happen? We have to do everything according to the Word of God. Will this build them up? Can we expose lies and show them? Can we teach them how to embrace the church? Let me have a show of hands here. Who has ever shown you how to study God's Word? Has anybody ever shown you how to study it? Would you like someone to show you how to study it? That's the first step, men. Find somebody who can teach you how to accurately divide the Word of God, that you, through the lens of the Scripture, can expose false teaching to protect not only your family, but the flock. That you can exalt sound doctrine because it's healthy and it's wholesome and you know it and it's the treasure of your heart. That as you embrace it, it'll begin to change you and begin to give you conviction of your own sin, but also begin to give you a vision of what God desires for you as his man or woman. And as you extend it to others, they in turn, for the generations to come, can guard what has been entrusted by the living God to the people who are the church of God, namely the truth of God. Oh, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Let's finish with looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. He says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what falsely called knowledge. False teaching would always have you believe it's knowledge, they're really in the know. But the truth sets us free. He says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. I want you to take Timothy's name out of there. And I want you to put your name in there. O Aidan. O Bill. O Harold. O Isaiah. O Mike. O Ron. Guard what has been entrusted to you. God has entrusted his word. Is it a treasure? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven, that above all things you have exalted your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you teach us in James that it is through the Spirit of God using the word that we are born again. Father, we thank you that you have given us the truth, and that, Lord Jesus, you desire us to grow in our knowledge of the truth that we may apply the truth. You have said that the church of the living God, the foundation and the pillar which supports it, is the truth. Father, we have embraced lies for so long, we can't even discern anymore what is true and what is not. We have drank deep from the urination of the false teaching and the urination of this world, which would contaminate our thinking and our affections and our desires. Oh, Father, grant us grace to take seriously the charge, the guard, what has been entrusted to us, the living word of the living God. Father, that you would raise up men in this congregation who would be serious about the word of God, having felt their own need and having coming to the one who is the truth, Lord Jesus, they would be grounded in your word, that they may be able to expose lovingly and vigilantly and protect, that they would exalt the word, that they would embrace the word and nourish their own souls on it, and they would extend the word. Father, that our young people would see that church is not merely a coming to a building, but church has been a part of the people of God, whose great and high and holy privilege is to make known the Son of God and uphold the truth of God. Father, for each lady in this place, that you would encourage and strengthen her, that she would nourish herself on your word, and as older women, as they are qualified, Lord, they would teach the younger women how to love their husbands. That, Father, their ministry is great and their ministry is eternal and their ministry can be effective as the Word of God guides them and directs them. Father, let us look through the lens of every teaching to see, does it lead me to the Bible or does it lead me from the Bible? Does it lead me to godliness or does it lead me away from godliness? Father, make us be what you have called us to be, a people set apart, zealous for good works, a people rooted and grounded in love, a people established in your word. And, oh God,
we would guard what you have entrusted in us, the gospel, your word, and we would guard your church, which is higher and more valuable to you than anything else. Father, help us to guard the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.